Aikman.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Troy Aikman, number one draft pick, Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer. Troy Aikman, Mully and Henley, Monday morning quarterback.
Chicago Sports Radio 674. Let's get out to the hotline. And there we find Troy Aikman, the Hall of Famer. He of Fox Sports and, of course, Fox Sports Radio as well. Troy, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thank you.
We had kind of a rough weekend, but it was nothing to what the Bears went through.
Yeah, no kidding.
Boy, I'll tell you, listening to Jay Cutler, he said he got kicked in the throat in the third quarter, and just kind of watching the state of that player after the game, it made you wonder, and I understand you don't ever take the quarterback out. You want to keep trying to win, but maybe running the ball at some point when you're getting sacked repeatedly might be an idea late in the game.
Yeah, you know, you get into those situations, and nobody likes the idea of just saying, hey, you're basically throwing in the towel when there's still time on the clock, and so you continue to throw it even when realistically you haven't done much or the chances of coming back and winning are next to nil. And, you know, he took a lot of hits, obviously, and, you know, Joe and I discussed that a little bit as far as him continuing to come back into that ball game. It's always a tough decision for the coaches to make. But, you know, the better question is, you know, what's the Chicago offense going to do this week? And there's a lot of corrections that have to take place. You know, I don't know outside of Matt Forte that anybody really played very well. And there's a lot of blame to go around as far as why there were so many breakdowns and protections and why he was getting hit as much as he was.
And that's the thing, Troy. You know, as good a buzz there was after the Falcons win, this was absolutely manhandling at the hands of the Saints. Yet you're 1-1, and it was going to be a tough three-game stretch coming out of the gate no matter how you sliced it. So I think it's pretty good that you got your division rival, the defending champion, coming to your home field. If that doesn't get you focused and centered back onto what needs to be done here, you know, I don't know if you can mend everything in 1 week, but at least you have everything out there for you to still get to be 2-1 after three, and that's about as best you could hope.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at the schedule going into the season, you know, right now after two games to be 1-1, I think realistically, you know, most people would have felt relatively good about that. I agree with you that, you know, it was a really nice win last week against Atlanta at home against a team that I still think is a pretty good ball club. And I think the disappointing thing is, for instance, if you take New Orleans, when they opened up last Thursday night against the Packers, they lost that game. That was going to be a hard win for them to have. They lose it, but they lost it playing very, very competitively. And I think the difference, obviously, is for the Bears to go into New Orleans, a difficult place to play against a really good team that had their backs against the wall being 0-1, that was going to be a hard game for the Bears to win. But to not even really be competitive in that game, that's the disappointing thing I would take from that if I was within the Bears organization. And, you know, you're right. They come back home. They'll regroup. They're playing a division rival, the defending world champions. We all know what they're capable of and the problems that they present. And that's why I think, you know, you look around the league and we're still really trying – we're still going off of last year's successes or last year's failures with most of these teams and trying to determine – okay, who's good this year? Who's not so good? And last night, yesterday for the Bears, not so good. And I think we'll have a much better idea, especially playing at home, as to what the Bears are. Now, having said that, you know, last year I did the game. I believe it was against the Redskins, the Bears Redskins game. It was about as bad a game as I've ever seen. And if someone had told me at that time that the Bears were going to be playing in the NFC Championship game, I'd have said you've lost your mind. I mean, these guys, they won't even have a winning record, and yet they were able to pull it around. So, you know, there's still a lot of football left, but that, you know, this team, it just seems over the years when I've been following them, boy, when they're bad, they are really bad. And I don't know that I've ever really seen anything quite like it with a team that really has been as good overall as they have been in making playoffs and making it to the Super Bowl and championship game like last year.
He's Troy Aikman, Fox Sports, Fox Sports Radio, and, of course, the Hall of Famer. And, Troy, you have your home in Dallas, and you're familiar with Roy Williams. He missed the game. What is the biggest disappointment for the Bears in terms of the weapons around Cutler? I mean, is it the wide receivers, or is it the offensive line? I mean, we're getting a choice here. It seems like with the offensive line, they're relying on Mike Tice to sort of create players. And I don't know what they're doing with the wide receivers, but there was a ball thrown up in the end zone at the end of the half where Devin Hester just can't make that play. That's not a play that he can make, which is sort of a jump ball in the corner. It looked like it could have been a touchdown with a different receiver, but again, the Bears don't seem loaded up at either of those positions.
Well, here's how I would answer that. I think that, you know, watching the Bears against Atlanta and that offensive line, I felt going into yesterday's game that that offensive line has a chance to be good. I really do. And I think Mike Tice is excellent. I really think he does a good job. And, you know, Gabe Kareemi, obviously a young guy, got injured yesterday, but I think there's some real upside with him. And Roberto Garza in the middle, you know, he's a big guy, big physical guy. You know, do you lose Olin Kreutz's leadership? Yeah, I think you do. But I think he helps him there as far as just being able to, you know, his pure size. And then, you know, across the board in the other spots, when they lose Lance Lewis, that was a blow. So now all of a sudden they're scrambling in the offensive line like they were a year ago early. And it's unfortunate because that's really where the whole offense gets established initially. And now they've got some problems there. As far as the skill players, the receivers, I don't think any of these guys are bad players. So, you know, don't misread what I say. But I think they're all out of position one. You know, I mean, if Johnny Knox was your third guy or your second guy, you know, then I think you're saying, hey, that's pretty good. Is Roy Williams, is he a one? I mean, I know he didn't play, but is he a one receiver? I don't think he is. I mean,
well, unfortunately, I think he might be here just because of the size.
Well, just because, well, he is in Chicago, and that's
right.
The problem.
But he's,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
right, I hear you.
And so you say, well, you know, how come you don't go out and get somebody? Well, sometimes that's easier said than done. You know, I mean, when you just say, hey, go get somebody. But when you haven't gotten anybody in several, we've been having this conversation about the Bears
sure.
for a long time.
Yeah.
That then's a problem. And I know when I was playing, you know, we had Michael Irvin, and he obviously was a bell cow to where people had to concern themselves with him each and every time they took the field. And then you've got a guy like Jay Novacek who can work the middle of the field and do some things there. And then, you know, we had a guy named Kelvin Martin who was our third wide receiver behind Alvin Harper. And he was really, in a lot of ways, he was the key to our offensive team because when teams did things against Michael, which you can do, and teams did things against Novacek, which you can do, then he was the guy who could then go out and make some real plays for us against their third guy or fourth guy, whoever they matched him up with. And that's the one that people forget about. Well, you know, you look at Green Bay and the weapons that they have, and then you say, hey, Jordy Nelson's making those kind of plays, or Wes Welker in New England. Wes Welker's not a one anywhere. I mean, you put him as a number one guy somewhere, I mean, that's going to be pretty tough. But you put him in the position where they've used him, you know, he can do a lot of damage with some other guys around him. And so that's been the big key, I think, for the Bears, is they just – all of their players are being asked to be more than really what they are. But I think they're all good players. They just don't have the one guy who, when you get ready to play – that you say, we better do something about this guy as a wide receiver. They have to do that with Matt Forte. But once you get beyond that, then it's just dealing with great speed by Devin Hester. I mean, he's a dynamic player when he gets the ball in his hands, but is he an established, you know, wide receiver? You know, we moved Deion Sanders to wide receiver 1 year. Michael Irvin was facing a suspension, and we made Deion Sanders our number one wide receiver, and it didn't go so well,
yeah.
You know, and he's as good an athlete as there ever was. And it takes away from the Jerry Rices and you know, the Michael Irvins and those type of receivers when you say we're going to convert a secondary player, a cornerback, and make him a wide receiver because he's really, really fast. It, there's more to it than that.
This segment of the Molly and Haley Show with Troy Aikman is being brought to you by Wingstop. Wingstop serves Chicagoland with 17 locations. Visit wingstop.com. Wingstop, the wing experts. And having said all that, Troy, you know, you're critical of Jay early on in the broadcast about holding the ball and throwing from his back foot when he really didn't need to. Does that speak to the confidence he has in the group? Is he saying all the right things, and he was rasping his way through the post game because he could barely speak, and he didn't throw any of them under the bus? He, you know, he's talked around a lot of things, but sometimes I think actions do speak louder than words, and I just don't know that he wants to throw that ball up there if he doesn't have confidence a guy's going to come down with it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, at the end, when you're getting hit like he was, I mean, you're going to try to avoid some hits as best you can and get out of there. So that's, but you know, throughout his career, he's had a tendency to bail out backwards out of the pocket and throw, you know. Brett Favre, he did the same thing throughout his career. So you got to be real careful when you start breaking down mechanics and saying, okay, well, you know, this and that. And but I think watching Jay, knowing the offense, it's an offense that I ran while I was here in Dallas with North Turner and Ernie Zampezi. You know, there's things that Jay can fundamentally get better at. But that's the case with all of the players on that offense, really. I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement based on what I watched yesterday.
You know, again, we're talking to Troy Aikman from Fox Sports Radio, and Troy will be doing the game next week, too. So it's a good opportunity to figure out where the Bears are at. You have taken hits in your career, and certainly earlier in your career, you took hits like that. What does that do to a quarterback? When you're in a game, and I believe, Troy, they ran the ball twice in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy to get the guy beat up like that.
Yeah, I think what happens when you are getting hit like that is you start losing a little confidence in the ability of the offensive line then to protect you. So then on the occasion that you actually have protection, you're rushing the throw. You know, so you're not trusting that you're going to have the time necessary. And so you're getting the ball out a little bit quicker than what you'd like. I mean, it has an impact. I think there was a game I played one time to where I got hit a lot, and it was about like yesterday. Only I didn't get sacked. You know, got hit a ton, but didn't give up a sack. And I remember on the bus ride home, Nate Newton saying, "Hey, the offensive line really played great. You know, Emmett had 120 yards rushing, and we didn't give up a sack." And that's the way those guys look at it. You know, they think, "Hey, if we didn't give up a sack, well." You know, they're not saying that today in Chicago because he's been sacked a bunch now over the first two games of the season. But sometimes the hits are more effective for a defense than even the sacks are. But yesterday, Jay was absorbing both. You know, sometimes if you just look at the sacks, you say this guy got hit a lot, and maybe those were the only times he got hit. But Jay got hit a lot when he didn't get sacked. He had to get the ball out a lot earlier than he wanted to. And there were a lot of reasons for that. I think there were breakdowns up front. I think there were times when the hots weren't seen. There were times when it was protected and Jay was ready to get the ball and nobody could get open. I think it was a collective effort there on the problems with the protections.
All right. Thanks a ton, Troy. We really appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to seeing you in Chicago next week.
Yeah, we signed your name to dinner Friday night, even though we couldn't pick up. Hope you didn't mind.
I can't wait to get to Chicago. I love the city, as you all know.
Yeah,
all right,
thank
take
you
care,
so
Troy.
Much.
Thanks.
That's Troy Aikman, Fox Sports.